I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, 21st day of April, a day that we are paying tribute, if you will, to Prince. We lost Prince on this day 8 years ago. Songs that he performed and songs that he wrote for others. This being one of them for Sinead O'Connor.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, as we enter this 9 o'clock hour, good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And good morning to you folks in Riverdale.
Down in Clayton.
Anyway, nothing compares to you. Brought to you by Prince. Again, we say it out loud. 8 years. Lost that dude. Man. So again, throughout the show, we have been playing. And I don't know that. We just scratch the surface of the stuff that this out there or coming out.
Yep.
And Noel has done a great job as far as chronicling the career, as far as what happened post Warner Brothers. You know, when he left the record company and the things that he was putting out then. So anyway, throughout the morning we've been doing that. Going to hear from Nui Scruggs coming up in a little bit here, talking Dallas. You wonder why I'm talking Dallas sports? Well, their world champion baseball team is up here playing the Braves.
They're here in town.
The draft is right around the corner. Curious about what those guys may or may not do.
Because they're coming to visit us this year.
That's true. And more importantly, how they feel about that team down there. Also,
Also because a certain guy named Manning was playing well for a team that Georgia has to go and visit this year.
Yes.
So talk about Georgia's schedule last year. Georgia got the real schedule this year.
So we got to tell Nui to answer the questions quick.
Yeah.
Because we got a lot of stuff, man.
What is Georgia walking into when they come down there next year, right? So we're going to ask them about that.
All of that still coming up here. So, again, I want to make sure that we get some stuff in that we want to get to. As far as Atlanta United, we haven't talked much about that. It was an unfortunate ending to the game yesterday, but
yeah.
I mean, I know. Is there a takeaway that we can?
Well, we hope this is not a trend where we're scoring first, but not coming away with the 3 points. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happened in the last couple of weeks. Did get one goal, so we did get some good news from Mike Conte. We got that. Let's
flicks to Almada, and he's able to poke it ahead now to Caleb Wiley, who lets that roll to him below center circle, and then he'll drive it ahead now to Mascara in the near corner. Edwin, dribble, 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 into the 18. Cut back pass, Almada up top. Shot! Score! The Marietta Magician has done it again! Thiago Almada gives Atlanta United the 1-0 lead on a curler past Alec Cann.
All right, now.
Mike is in fine. I mean, top voice.
Yeah, he is.
And top voice. Really. He's doing him voice exercises before he gets to the game. You do those in the car?
Me. I don't know.
I say my vowels.
Yo, do you?
Out loud. Yeah, I learned that a long time. I first got to, when you're driving in your car, going into work, say vowels out loud and contort your mouth. Because all the muscles will then get stretched out.
That's the one I do.
So I'm
calisthenics for the voice.
Exactly.
But they fall 2-1 at home, and that's the last two at home, and they didn't get a. They got 1 point last week because they had to settle for a 2-2 draw. This week they fall 2-1 to FC Cincinnati. Next week is on to Chicago, and let's see. Is you know they get some people back healthy. Some played limited minutes. Yargo Yakomakis was limited in his playing time last night. Let's see if next week we get more playing time and, you know, get back in the win column.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I had to go check on this before we get into this NBA stuff because we were talking to Noel about Anthony Edwards. I was wondering if they must have made a call to Marvel because he got posters out there with Ant-Man on it, and they own that. And you know you're not taking somebody else's trademark. Well, so no. There has to be some kind of relation. What am I missing?
Well, you know, it being NBA and Marvel and, well, Disney being in bed with each other helps.
That's what I'm saying.
You, yeah.
But that was a call that was made.
They used them to push all of those Marvel movies and stuff anyway. So I guess for right now, Disney is like, this is just a plus.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like Taylor Swift falling into their lap.
Yeah. Basically, yeah. It's like Taylor Swift falling into the NFL's lap.
You got a top young player who, by the way, is going to be using that name for the next X amount, you know, at least a decade.
Right. Yep.
And I believe they already do licenses with Adidas. So, yeah, it's just all wrapped up in a nice, neat little bow.
There you go.
It's just the rich get richer.
How about that? How about that?
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
You got more NBA matchups coming up today.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
You got the Celtics. Celtics are playing today against Miami. You talked
about but that's going to be like a it's not as bad as Denver against the Lakers where you just figure Denver, I don't know if they're going to sweep them, but you don't feel like it's going past five games in that one. This one, now that you know Jimmy Butler's out, I don't know that it'll go past five games.
Okay.
If it hits that, I will be surprised. I hope Miami brings more. I think they have the ability to. But,
yeah. They're going to be limited.
Yeah.
This Dallas Clippers series. You know, what do you think is happening? You're talking about how you feel like Dallas is trending, and we talked about Trae Young last segment. Is there pressure for Luka to show in this series?
If you're asking,
I would think so.
Yeah, well, I have no doubt that they're going to win this. I really don't.
The Mavericks?
The Mavericks, yes. I absolutely believe the chemistry is there, the talent is there, and if you gave me $1,000, I wouldn't put it down on anything having to do with playoffs and Paul George. That's just the way I feel. Whether it's the first round, the second round, or any other round. When it comes to the playoffs, that dude, for whatever reason, he's in a group of people who, when it comes to playoff time, you know, where's that regular season dude?
This could be the year that Brady breaks through.
Okay, well then.
This could be
fine,
it.
Fine, but I'm not betting my money on it.
I mean, you talk about both of them that really kind of need to break through.
Well, Kawhi's already done it. I've seen him carry a team to a championship.
I'm talking about Luka now. I'm talking about Luka.
Oh, well, Luka, again, he's what's next, if you want to believe that. It's when we sit here in Atlanta watching him, you should feel a certain kind of way because he got the running mate that everybody talks about Trey needs. And no, you know, disrespect to DeJounte, but he's not a champion like Kyrie is. And coming and a guy who played alongside LeBron James, so he brings a little knowledge of working with that dude. So again, I think this is. I don't know that they're going to get past Denver, but I do.
But you feel like they get past?
I won't get past the Clippers.
We'll find out. That was a 2:30 start today. Milwaukee. What do we make of them? You know, your homeboy Doc Rivers.
What's that theme for MASH?
What?
Because that's what our MASH is right now, man. Everybody. Well, the star is hurt and the coach is hurt mentally. I think. What's Doc to do? What adjustments can he make with this team? And if you want to believe the reports, the superstar that came and joined Giannis is not happy. So mentally, he's not ready to go. He's not going to be there.
Interesting times.
Really?
Because this crew was on top of everything here several years back. And
Indiana's another one of those. All right, let me make an excuse. Give me a reason why I'm wrong and if you think Milwaukee will prevail here. Given where they have been throughout the season, but also knowing Giannis's present condition.
Yeah, yeah, I don't see it happening. I mean, he's there, and they could do it, but Indiana to me has an opportunity to go in and maybe give them a push and maybe take this series. I don't know. You have guys with Milwaukee who've done it before, and maybe this is the time when you really lean on Lillard. That's what he came to the team for, you know. See what happens.
Could he be playing for his next landing spot? And the crazy part about this is it's going to be weeks, but he will come back. But Jimmy Butler is the dude, if you want to believe the reports, is who he wanted to play with. He wanted to go to Miami, and he ended up in Milwaukee. All right, and then that situation happened how it did in Milwaukee, and they got rid of the coach and all of that, and Doc stepped in, which was not very smart on his part. He had a pretty good job. I don't know why he decided to choose that one.
Yeah, nice game.
But he did. until somebody gives me a reason to think differently, I just feel like the East is the Celtics to lose.
Mm-hmm.
But the one I'm really looking forward to, and I know Zion is limping a little bit, but is Oklahoma City and the Pelicans.
Yeah,
if
Zion was healthy, I would say yeah. But without him, I don't know. And OKC has been so strong all season long. But this is the second season, and this is what you're really going to see what they're made of. Yeah, you talk about regular season play and postseason play. We'll see what these guys do. And if Zion is not that, you expect to see OKC go out there and handle their business.
Handle their business and look phenomenal doing it.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And I think this is Alexander's, the opportunity for one of his, well, it's not the same because yesterday we talked about Jordan's coming out party. And it's when he came back after being injured in his second season just for the playoffs, and nobody thought he was going to be able to do anything, and he went into Boston Garden, which nobody did back then, and performed the way he did and put up 63 against the greatest of those 80s Celtics teams. Having said that, Shea going into this matchup is not the same. It's not equivalent, and he's not coming off injury. But between him, Halliburton, next year John Morant's going to be back. The league is in good shape as far as bringing people on the periphery in to watch games. Yeah. That's what I believe.
I think so. And that's the thing. A lot of people will watch this game. They're the last one today of the four first-round matchups that play today. They play at 9:30.
You got to change the battery because you'll be going between that and ESPN and the Braves.
That's what you're going to be doing tonight. But that's what's coming up.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9.
I'll tell you what's inside today, though. If you want to go to something, it's raining outside. Was inside Atlanta vibe is happening inside today. Your first place team, they've already nailed down their playoff spot, and they are at home this afternoon at 2 o'clock. I mean, they got two home matches remaining before they get into the playoffs. And so they'll be at home this afternoon, 2 o'clock. And go out and check them out.
All right, before we get out of here, I mentioned this earlier in the show, and I haven't had a chance to get to it, but since we're talking basketball, and other shows have mentioned this, we just haven't had a chance to. And that is Dawn Staley's comments from, I don't know, X amount of days ago, a few weeks ago, but some of them go back years. But this is the one that was discussed this past week. And this is Dawn Staley in all her glory. Problem is, y'all got league dreams with backyard work ethic. And your parents applaud it.
Yeah.
You know that one, right?
Yeah.
And everything that goes along with it. Well, again,
you know what is echoing? Is echoing what we hear over in Athens from Kirby Smart,
mm-hmm.
an entitlement. Kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
But it's easier to throw that message out there when you're standing there holding a national championship.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
And it was something that.
But I mean, but also, if you're going to a program that wants to achieve that, that's you got to draw from that. That's like I said. And where does Kirby's come from? It comes from Tuscaloosa,
right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to get you some of that, and get some folks on board, some players and whatnot who gonna adopt to that mentality. Can you find enough of those type players who are willing to do that, and you get a chance to contend?
And parents, if you haven't heard, I'm a very different person from your parents because your parents don't want you to fail and be uncomfortable. They do everything in their power to make sure that you mm-hmm. don't feel the pain that they felt growing up. And it's probably their biggest mistake because you are going to fail.
Yeah.
I love you enough to allow you to fail.
Yeah.
Which is one of the things that we say in this business, that you can't get into a performing business chasing the money. And you can't get in it being afraid to fail.
True.
Because we get negativity thrown at us on a regular basis.
That's true.
And so my skin is thicker than every friend I got. So anyway, I want to throw that Dawn Staley thing out there because we were talking basketball. We're going to mm-hmm. switch gears and talk a number of things with Nui Scruggs, who is coming up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And take us with you in the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg with you on this rainy Sunday morning. 9 floors up in the Kia Studios. So glad that you're with us. Hope this rain will stop around 7 o'clock this time so that the Braves and the Rangers can play game 3 of their weekend series.
Hang on a second. I'm feeling kind of Bill Murray-like. It is like Groundhog's Day. Didn't I hear this song? We played this song earlier, right?
We do it for him, too.
Oh, okay.
Another one of my Maker Sci-Fi brothers. We did it for Brother Ledbetter. We're going
to
do it for Brother Scruggs.
Okay. As well, we should.
We're going to give you a little atomic dog. Good morning, Newest.
Newey!
Good morning, man.
Look at him.
What's up, fellas? I love the music. I love the music.
Happy I know. And I want you to know that I was the first one to bring you up this week with Sam. Am I right?
Yep.
To have him on. Because we got so much to talk to you about. So right off the rip, we're going to tell you this, Newey. Keep your answers succinct. Because we got a lot of questions for you, okay?
Gotcha.
All right. Well, you want to start with the guys down the street?
Let's start with the guys down the street.
All right.
The guys who are already here.
Congratulations, first of all, on having the world champions in your city. He's really
been
quiet.
It's been fun. it's been a journey. Having been there with the team in St. Louis in 2011 when they were one strike away two different times and losing, it was definitely something to heal the city. I was actually in Atlanta. I was covering Cleveland at the time in 95, so I understood what it meant for a fan base that's hurting to finally see a champion.
But here's the part that we want to say, because I'm speaking for the rest of the country right now, in that we love the fact that the best professional team in your city plays baseball and not that other team, and how that's landing in Dallas.
Look, you got a lot of people here who love the Rangers.
Okay.
And you know, once again, you got to go back into the pain portion of this. The people that saw one strike twice.
Yeah.
Even going into the basketball team with Mark Cuban, they had gone to the finals the first time in 06, were up 2-0, and then lost four straight to Miami to go back and then beat Miami in 2011. That kind of stuff was, you know, it was the thing that was healing and people needed and wanted. The Cowboy frustration, you know, look, my kid's in college now. You never seen the Cowboys win a damn thing. You know, my thing about the Cowboy stuff is, like, guys, Bill Clinton was president when this happened.
Yeah.
And so I don't jump on this thing like national people do, because I've lived it. I'm old enough to have covered Jimmy Johnson's last team that did win a Super Bowl. So, you know, I covered Emmitt and Troy and whatnot, but I'm not stuck on this thing like so many other people do, because I also never buy into the, oh, this is a Super Bowl year. I don't buy into that. Yeah. I call it the hopium. I don't buy into the hopium. Jerry's selling it, people injecting it, but not me. I'm not on that narcotic. No hopium for me, sir.
All right, that's why we love you, Newey.
That's really good, man. Before we spend the time on the WayForIt.com hotline with Newey's Crush, who is now in his 24th year.
Oh, man.
At NBC Universal, there at NBC.
He deserves a dinner.
Yeah, he deserves more than a dinner.
Oh, I'd give him a watch, too.
Come on, man. This man's working. He thought he's going to be there for a hot minute and go back to L.A. No, they won't let him go and make him stay there. And he is social. You can always find him at Newey Scruggs, all lowercase. Kidding aside, though, we're on the verge of possibly sweeping the Rangers team. Are they getting off to the kind of start that you thought they would? And I understand that Scherzer is having some side pitching to try to get back. Thoughts about what this team is so far?
Giving up too many walks. You know, you just can't walk people, especially you think about a team like the Braves. You walk them and you know, boom, you're in trouble. Travis d'Arnaud, obviously, you know, four homers in two nights. They gave up three homers to Shane Langeliers and Oakland and ended up losing the game here. So we've seen this happen before. Their bats have not been where they needed to be. And so the offense has started off a little bit slow. But dealing with injuries, your all-star third baseman, Josh Young, is out. Nate Lowe has been a silver slugger and a gold glove winner. He just made his first appearance yesterday all season long. The rotation has definitely still got guys that are missing. Max Scherzer's out. And they were expecting him back in June, but it looks like they're going to get him back here maybe before the end of the month. You've got Tyler Mahle, who's not expected to get back until July, and then Jacob DeGrom, they're thinking maybe late July, August. So you've got some pieces that are missing. Your closer, Leclerc, you know, Pico's been demoted because he can't find the strike zone right now. So this is just early footing. Your biggest thing here is you're still in first place, and you just got to figure it out. Atlanta ain't the team to try to fix your stuff against, but hey, go out here today, try to get a win. But I'm not worried. Bruce Bochy is a Hall of Fame manager. It's about what you do at the end, and right now they're in first place, so they just fine.
I've always loved me some Bruce Bochy.
Yeah.
Always loved me some Bruce Bochy. And the guys they got running that team are a pitcher and a catcher.
Yeah.
You got Mike Maddox as a pitching coach, and you got Bochy as the manager. And there's success coming all over the place. All right, let's switch gears to another team, and you brought up the Mavericks earlier. Newey, the connection between these two cities is when you talk professional basketball, well, it gets back to Trey and Luka coming out at the same time. Well, Trey hasn't got the running mate that you guys got right now as far as Kyrie Irving, and it seems like the chemistry is there. Talk about this team and where they are in the playoffs right now, and how's that city feeling about them ascending and possibly meeting Denver in the conference finals?
I don't go, oh boy, ooh, you have conference finals. How about finally beating the Clippers in the first round? Because that's they faced them twice in the past few seasons, and they've lost. So win game one in Los Angeles where Kawhi Leonard may not play. The fan base here, they're happy. I mean, we're lucky because the hockey team won the division, number one seed in the NHL playoffs out in West, and the basketball team won the division where so many people were trying to fire Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd preached patience. They made the trade they needed to get some defense, and Kyrie Irving is in a happy place. Mark Cuban, GM Nico Harrison, and you know, and Kidd, they don't get enough credit for making sure that they created an atmosphere in which Kyrie can be happy. And I also think that the benefit for Kyrie Irving is he's playing on a team that doesn't get all the publicity. There's not a whole bunch of cameras here like it was for him in Boston or in Cleveland when he was around LeBron. They're an afterthought a lot of ways here. But to answer your question, look, fans are hopeful, but you got to beat the Clippers. And I think that's where people's mindset is at. Can you finally beat this team that has run you out of the playoffs twice?
Man, we watch for that and see what that's happening. Draft is coming up. I know you keep a big eye on that. The Falcons are drafting 8th. I think the Cowboys are what, you guys, 23rd, 24th?
24th.
24th?
24.
What are you guys looking for, and what does this team need? We're going to get to see them. They're going to get to come play here in Atlanta this fall.
Well, my thought process is different than most people's nationally. Most people nationally got to take it a tackle. I don't know how good the tackles will be and when you hit 24. They drafted Tyler Smith a couple years ago out of Tulsa. He was a left guard, played really well, played at a Pro Bowl level. In fact, was better than All-Pro Zach Martin in many of our opinions who watched the games. I think they're going to put him out at left tackle. Personnel director Will McClay once told me, he says, we drafted him to be our left tackle. So, yeah, this is now the time to make him the left tackle. And I say that because I just hear the projections that people are saying about tackle. But to me, you go back and say, what's the Cowboys' problem? When they've lost in the playoffs the last 3 years, people want to point to Dak Prescott. But the defense has been terrible against the run. San Francisco drilled them running the ball. We saw Green Bay run it down their throat, 141 yards and 2 touchdowns. They have not fixed the run defense. And the guy they took number one last year, Mozzie Smith from Michigan, so they bring in Mozzie, this dude loses weight. He's supposed to be a nose tackle. He lost weight, got under 300 pounds. Like, dude, don't go get on Ozempic. Don't lose the weight. So he lost weight, and he's got shoulder surgery. So it's like he can't even lift weights now. So right now, technically, he's a starter. I'm like, guys, you need to get somebody up front. So to me, I'm worried about their front seven. We know Mike Zimmer likes big people. Dan Quinn didn't like big people up front. And Zimmer wants bigger linebackers. That wasn't what Quinn had. So they've got to figure out how they give their defense a better shot at winning. And that, to me, is why they've got to find and figure out a way to get 3 walk-in starters. You also don't have a starting center here. So offensive line, defensive line, that's where the Cowboys need to go. And not just round one, but the first 3 rounds, in my opinion.
All right, well, those are the picks, Nui, but the conversation that surrounds the Cowboys is who they're going to sign, when they're going to sign them, and all of that. So we can start with Dak. You can go to
I don't know.
Okay, that's a good answer.
Right now, I don't know. They tell us one thing, the actions show something else.
Wow.
Who would you like them to sign then? Let's put it that way. Who do you think that their biggest priority as far as signing right now should be in your mind?
The quarterback. It's your quarterback. This is a quarterback league. Your quarterback led the league in touchdown passes last year, the first year in offense with Mike McCarthy. Your quarterback was second team All-Pro. Why are we even having this conversation?
All right, it's crazy. Is Micah Parsons? Is Micah next then? Is Micah Parsons next?
No, CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb is not coming to camp until he has a contract.
Okay.
So Micah's behind him. So you have to take care of you're looking at paying your quarterback $60 million and your receiver $28 to $30 million. Micah's just got to wait. But he'll get paid because Jerry doesn't let his stars go away. That's the other thing when I hear these people say stuff. Though last night I had a conversation with a couple of people who talked to Dak Friday night at a charity event, and they feel like the Cowboys, like, they're ready to move on from him. But I also know Jerry Jones because I've covered him for so long. Jerry is afraid of not having a franchise quarterback because he remembers
Atlanta's own Quincy Carter when he went through that run after Troy Aikman. So I don't see them allowing Dak Prescott to leave.
Wow. This is why we talk to him. Because, again, I we hear the speculation. We don't know. He's boots on the ground there.
We're about to round up.
Go ahead.
Round up with him. I got one more thing. We got to talk some college football. Texas had their spring game yesterday. Georgia's schedule this year, Georgia has to come to Texas. I keep telling folks, Texas is coming to the SEC ready. I don't know your thoughts about what the Longhorns and what the SEC can expect to see from this team.
Texas is about like the Cowboys. All this hype, fans get on all this hopium. They had a good year last year. They had a good year. They won the Big 12. SEC, different monster. You know, you don't see, you know, you see one good team, one or two good teams in the Big 12 that they had to face. SEC is a whole different animal week after week after week. And that's going to be the challenge for Sark. And they can sit up here and tell me they're SEC ready all day long. You got to show it to me. And the problem is people want to trust what they see after 1 year at times. Trust requires three things: time, proof, and consistency. So Texas has to come out and show me that they can do this and win this again and again. And Quinn Ewers is a starting quarterback, and we know right now Quinn is in a bad position because Arch Manning looked good yesterday. People want that guy already. So let's see what they do and how they handle the new change.
Nui, is it an easy answer for you to give us an idea why Mark Cuban stepped away the way he did from not only
yeah.
the, why is it?
Okay, first off, the TV deals are all gone. Okay, Mark is one of those guys in town who signed a 20-year TV deal. This TV deal is supposed to pay him $100 million. That TV deal is not paying $100 million this year. Next year is paying nothing. So that's money that's gone. And if you're doing simple accounting, that's a big, big, big hole. Second thing is he wants a new arena, and he also wants to get in on the gambling. In order to get this type of stuff passed, we don't even have sports betting here in the state. You're going to have to align yourself and work with politicians. The politicians here are Republicans, very conservative Republicans. Mark Cuban is not. The family he sold it to, Sheldon Adelson's family, they've been dealing in Republican politics for years. They've been kingmakers. So at the end of the day, you need to turn it over to people who can allow you to get this done. So Mark still owns a large chunk of the team, and now he's going to partner with people who built a dang casino in China and all over Vegas. They're going to build something. They're looking to get gaming, and so he's going to still be able to run the team. So he's got that in his pocket, and he doesn't have to put up the money for a new arena. He doesn't have to put up the money for the lobby to get what he wants. It's a very smart move on Mark's part. He gets to still run the team, but he don't have the financial responsibilities of it.
Remember, we talked about this yesterday. There's a reason why certain guys have a B in front of their bank account.
Yeah,
I was working with Tyler Perry this weekend, and I saw some things and went, this is why this guy is as successful as he is. But anyway, Nui Scruggs.
So think about this. The guy who Sarver sold the Suns for $4 billion. Mark Cuban sold the Mavericks for $3 billion. Sarver sold it for an extra billion, but he's out of the game. Mark Cuban is still in the game, running the team, and he's going to be able to make profits going forward. Who won the deal?
There you go. Yeah, yeah. That's what we wanted to know. I didn't know the backstory there.
Yeah, man.
I still got to get the backstory on Shark Tank, but maybe this is all intertwined because he's leaving that show too.
Dude, thanks so much this morning, man.
And thank you, sir.
All right, now be well, guys.
All right, now.
Nui Scruggs, yeah, appreciate it. And he's with the NBC affiliate down there.
In Dallas.
In Dallas. Can't thank him enough there. And, again, enlightened us to stuff we needed to know. We're getting ready for Sunday Night Baseball with the Braves and other action going on around. We got to get a report from Talladega, too, seeing if that race is going to get off. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And take us with you on the Odyssey. Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, 21st day of April. We have been playing Prince music throughout the show. You're just joining us. It was 8 years ago on this day, lost Prince. He was 57 years old at the time being, and the array of music that is still sitting someplace, waiting to be unearthed, will just floor us. And the stuff that this guy has written, and as soon as the family gets their stuff together and the bickering stops, which who knows when that'll happen.
Oh, man.
We're looking forward to hearing this music. just like the catalog that we have access to now, there's stuff I'm sure that he wrote back in the early 80s, pre-Purple Rain.
Oh, yeah.
That's sitting someplace.
Mm-hmm.
And then the stuff he wrote later in life that never made an album. Anyway, it's going to be crazy. Anyway, rest in peace, Prince. Been playing it throughout the show today. I'm trying to see here. We're going to wrap things up. I'm going to turn things over to John Fricke coming up at the top of the hour. Some of the stuff that Nui said, what stayed with you as far as what's going on down there in Dallas?
He's a non-believer in Texas. I guess because I think Texas is going to come into SEC ready. And I don't know if what happened yesterday in the spring game starts a little bit of a quarterback controversy, where I think a lot of people have been waiting for that. They want to see Manning. But I just think they fired the first shot by beating Alabama last year. I just think, you know, we're coming in, we're beating Alabama, you know what I mean? And so here we come. This is how we're going to start. We're not going to start with Vanderbilt in Arkansas. We're going to start at the top of the food chain and send Georgia over here next year. We got something for them, you know.
But the good news is with that, if they lose that game, what do we hear? Early loss always helps, right? And 12 teams are going to make it into the playoffs next year. So they really ain't worried about getting it over with.
But they're coming in and they got Georgia coming to their place.
I understand.
That's going to be a heck of a ball game.
But you're right. The way he said that, and I had forgotten, while he was saying it, I had forgotten about the Alabama, so that kind of cancels this analogy. But he was talking like somebody who was expecting or waiting for the Georgia State game. Like Georgia State, this year stepping up to D1.
Yeah.
They're making it sound like, okay, well, now these guys are coming into the SEC, so it's going to be a different animal. They went into Big 12 as compared to what's coming, you know, what's in store for them. And that kind of sounded like what folks may be saying about your school.
West Georgia?
Exactly.
We're going in? I mean, well, it's new.
I said Georgia State. I meant West Georgia. Excuse me.
You know, but I don't think so. I think Texas can come in and they're going to be prime product. I think they're going to be ready. But he's like show me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of what he's saying. He knows the cash is there. Him and Texas A&M both got two of the biggest checkbooks in the nation. They get whatever they want and bring players in and whatever, but you seem like Texas is moving in the right direction. But we'll see.
That's funny because pretty much we went against the grain on most of the things that he thought of. Like I thought he was going to be more impressed with what's going on with the Mavericks, okay? And he's like, okay, well, Kyrie's hurt and all this sort of stuff. I thought he'd be a little – I didn't know that he would have the response he did about the Rangers, like, where y'all been? This has been going on for a minute, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, because you guys are in Texas and you never been, and, you know, I didn't see you ascend past those playoff games that you're talking about that you won and showed. But, here in Atlanta or other places, it's the Rangers, okay? Until you did what you did last year, it's kind of like,
Well, for us, they're in the American League, and we don't think of them as being at the top of the American League, even – you know, and that's the thing. They don't get a lot of the publicity. It's the same thing he said about Kyrie being comfortable in Dallas because they don't get a national focus for that team. You know what I mean? They're there. They're playing. If they're playing against a Boston or an L.A. or somebody like that, but they don't get that kind of focus. Now let's see what they do now. The lights are on. And, I'm kind of with him. Let's see if they get past the Clippers. If the Clippers have been a stumbling block for them, let's see if anything's really, really different.
How far is College Station from Dallas? I don't know. I'm just trying to think. They don't talk no Texas A&M over there? Because we still have
– Well, Texas A&M has come in and you know, they dropped the big check.
That's what I wanted to ask him about.
Had to run Jimbo Fisher out. So,
out of there.
I mean, you know, that's what the SEC did to them. It would be a little different for Texas, you know. Either way, though, this conference won. There are other reasons that that's a big deal for them, both of these schools, to be in the SEC, especially for recruiting, allowing the SEC teams to go to Texas and recruit. You're going to play. You're going to get to come home and play. You're going to get to play against Texas A&M if the kids are not going to those schools. That's the other big part of it. When a team comes into your conference, that makes it part of your recruiting footprint. Maybe not your immediate footprint. If you talk to Kirby Smart, he likes to talk about within a 2 to 3 hour radius from where he's at.
Right.
You know, and it feels like he's right. If he's getting recruits from that area, he's getting some pretty good ball players. But you know, when you're in a certain conference, it gives you, you know, cachet to come in and do that. The one thing I noticed with Georgia State with Sunbelt, you know, those schools recruit Georgia, recruit Atlanta. When they come to play, I look at rosters for Troy, for South Alabama. For
We were talking about Kansas State not too long ago, too.
You know, yeah, right, you know what I mean? So you know, that's the thing you watch for. But we'll see what happens by the time we get to Texas and Georgia.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Moving forward.
Yeah.
Got John Fricke coming top of the hour. Mm-hmm. He will have something to say, I would imagine, about this game tonight.
Okay, sure.
When it comes to baseball and what the Braves may or may not do or what they should or should not do, you're going to get strong opinions there. And I absolutely believe when he starts talking draft, you're going to get strong opinions.
Very, very much.
Some very strong opinions about that.
You know.
So, again, Sam, there was something having to do with the SEC conversation we were just having, and I wanted to bring up an analogy, and I want to ask you about, and it went right out of my head.
Oh, that's not good.
No, it's not good, because it was actually relevant. I had a salient point I was going to make, and it just went away. So, again, she's going to hit that dump.
And remind everybody, 3 o'clock today, the green flag is supposed to drop, 3 o'clock Eastern time, over at Talladega. There's rain still over there right now. Looks like they got an opening that's coming up for the rain, but there's some more light rain, it seems to be. I'm looking at the radar coming through in Mississippi. They could slow things down a little bit, but if they dry that track off, and that's a big, long track. It's hard to dry off. They may have to have the track dryers and then actually put the cars on and let them go around for several laps to help finishing drying is what I think we may see today if they get that race in.
I remember what I was going to say to you.
Yeah.
Think about this. Say it out loud. April 2024. Bill Belichick and Nick Saban doing television.
Yeah.
One's going to be doing, both of them are going to be doing the draft.
Are you looking forward to that for the draft? That's the thing. You want to see those guys, they will be doing draft coverage this week.
I know he's, Belichick is going to be with Manning.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick Saban is going to be a part of the ESPN broadcast.
Yeah.
But those two dudes doing what they do, this is how fast the change has happened in not only the college level, but the professional levels. To keep these guys from continuing to coach, you know their knowledge hasn't dissipated, right? It's all the other stuff on the periphery that's pushed these guys. And if you want to go back a year, you can say the same for Coach K, and you can talk about other coaches that have exited, all-time greats that have exited stage left. But you never thought you'd see this in the same calendar year. Saban and Belichick, boom, out of the game.
Yeah,
y'all doing television. Get some makeup on.
Well, one stepping out and the other one couldn't get back in. And, of course, that was the big story on ESPN this week about the Belichick and, you know, coming here to Atlanta.
And the conversation that took place.
How it all took place and how somebody said, hey, you don't want to do that. And so, you know.
There's a reason we haven't mentioned that, because that's third-party stuff.
Yeah.
Until we hear that the guy with the black suit and the red tie come out and say something, I'm not mentioning it. That's Arthur Blank. That's that way. Or the gray suit. It's the gray suit and the red tie.
And the red tie.
Excuse me, gray three-piece suit and the red tie. I got the wardrobe right now?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Let's move on.
He could get asked about that at some point this week.
That's who's going to be that person? It'll be a national reporter. It won't be anybody local.
Oh, it'll be somebody local.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Other than D-Led, who would step in that? Knowing it, what if it isn't true?
He could be anybody that would ask him. And if it's not true, he'll say that. That's not true. But I think he can expect to be asked that this week by somebody local. That's fair.
All right. Me and you are sitting it off the hook. We're in the barbershop. The conversation going on there. Do you believe it to be true?
I kind of do. Just because the way things are shaped up, everything looked like, you know, Belichick was here. They looked like a sealed deal. It really did. And the other thing is that nobody else touched him, mm-hmm. which means he may have spoken to those places too. Those places may have said, hey, we want to talk to him. Why would you do that from someone that's made your franchise, helped to make your franchise and something you own at the top for so long? Why? I have no idea.
Do you remember the movie Casino?
Yeah.
Okay, you remember the scene where Robert De Niro is in his office and he's being interviewed about his job and what he does there? And even though there's the Kevin Pollak character who's supposed to be running the casino, they're asking him, are you the one in charge? And De Niro answers, when so-and-so, I forgot his name, but when Mr. Green isn't around, yes, I guess I'm in charge. Remember, he put it just like that. When he's not around, I guess I'm in charge. And then the headline comes out the next day, Ace, whatever his name is, Rothstein, he's the man in charge. That's all they put. They took the headline. My point for saying that is, I agree with you that it could have been said. My thing is, was it taken? Was context applied? In other words, could Bill have been asking or wanting to do something in a certain way, and presenting that to, you know, Arthur Blank and the rest of the people who were making the decision, and that part wasn't reported. In other words, he says, I just want to be a part of the draft Sunday. I want to be, you know, a part of the draft process, and then I'll just coach. Okay? And if that was conveyed back to where Robert Kraft made this comment, my point for saying it is maybe it wasn't in total not to trust him. It was just maybe in this is what he said, but yeah, I don't necessarily think that that covers everything that you should keep an eye out for, and so on and so forth. Was context possibly a part of – was context eliminated from part of the reason why something was said the way it was said about these conversations? In other words, he don't trust him, but why don't you trust him? And that's the part that I think is missing from this.
Right, right.
What did he say that you shouldn't trust? Was it in total, or was it, you know, specific things?
We may never know that.
That's what I'm saying, and we won't.
We may never know that.
But that's the kind of thing that makes you get a little bit of a skunk eye. But either way, it doesn't matter. It was enough to, and I'm really glad it played out the way it did. And I think most Falcons fans, if not all, are happy that it played out the way it did. And, you know, it answered the question, you know, the whole chicken or the egg thing. Who really drove the bus?
Yeah.
And we now know, for the most part, it was that dude who retired at Tampa Bay Buccaneer. So say what you will about it. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I'm just going to do them right now. I thought you were going to hit the thing. I had to shut up.
As the show winds down, it's time for us to cover some of the things we haven't yet, as we flush out some of the small stories we may have missed with Sam and Greg.
I got to get rid of this stuff. And I don't know how this happened, Sam. Okay, so John Adams, today.
Okay.
He was sworn in as the first vice president of this country. But it wasn't until 9 days later that they swore in the president. That's the way they did things back then. I don't know how that happens, but it did. On this day.
Okay.
I don't know what Spain was drinking on this day, but they declared war on the United States. The Spanish-American War. We all studied in school.
Yeah.
It started on this day. Yesterday, I mentioned something that happened. You ever heard of Manfred von Richthofen? I think you have, but you didn't.
Yeah.
Let me get it. Manfred von Richthofen, otherwise known as the Red Baron. Yesterday, he shot down his record 80th plane. This was chronicled, right?
Okay.
It was a thing. He shot down his 80th plane in the war. Today, he got shot down.
Whoa.
The next day, he died, and today was the day, and he got taken out on this day. Heartbreak Hotel, Elvis's first number one, happened on this day. Birthdays go out to, starting with your favorite person, the Queen.
Oh.
It would have been Queen Elizabeth's birthday today.
Really?
She would have been 98 years old,
been
Mr. 98 Crenshaw.
Years old.
She was Elizabeth II.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she would have been more Roman numerals behind her, Elizabeth.
But yeah.
Anyway, would have been a Queen's birthday. Anthony Quinn. You got a movie of him you can think of? Anthony Quinn movie? Zorba the Greek? Does that sound about right?
Yeah.
Something like that. Iggy Pop would have been his birthday. I can't believe this dude is this old. 73 years old, Tony Danza.
Wow, yeah.
I know, right? No way in the world. I'm doing this one for Mets fans. Don't know why, but I am. Happy birthday, Jesse Orosco. Robert Smith from The Cure. Ken Caminiti, rest in peace, would have been his birthday today. Ed Belfour, Hockey Hall of Famer. And happy 44th birthday, Tony Romo. Speaking of Cowboys.
Cowboys quarterbacks.
Yes, indeed. Lost Mark Twain on this day. Lost Jimmy the Greek. Lost Prince, we have been talking about throughout the show.
Mm-hmm.
And if we had time to play her music, I'd have thrown one in there. But Nina Simone. Lost Nina Simone on this day, on this 21st. Mr. Crenshaw, you got your meal ready for this full day of sports? You're going to be sitting in front of the TV watching?
TV with some clam chowder. Ella's a clam chowder kind of day.
Mm. Noel. Thank you for everything today. You have a wonderful week.
Thank you.
When you see me again, Mr. Crenshaw, I will have finished my work with Mr. Tyler Perry.
We hope so.
So I will have a story, not about what happened on set or anything having to do with the plot, but just thanking him. The rest of you, thank you for letting us be a part of your Saturday and Sunday morning. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and take us with you on the Odyssey app.
could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.